Well, that was a great segue, because that's what exactly what I'm going to talk about is some data with 911. Just a little background with that. My background is that I have been a school nurse in Utah. I grew up in New Hampshire, though. So if you look in your little ruler, New Hampshire's at the top, Utah's at the bottom. Hence why you can see why it was so shocking to me when I went to Utah. And when I originally started working as a school nurse, I covered 25 schools. You can imagine I wasn't there very often. But when I stopped working there and moved to work at the state health department, I was down to 14 schools and thought I was doing pretty well. Now school nurses have about an average of 6 to 10. On the ruler, we always, even though it has us as, it's kind of sad that we brag about this, but on this it has us at 49 with 3,637. Our state calculates it at about 1 to 6,000 because this is a lot of, we have a lot of part-time nurses. So, and when I was a school nurse, one day we had an incident where 911 was called, and it was just really interesting. Luckily, the child was okay. He'd been in the gym and was running and just managed to hit the corner of the piano. Don't ask me why there's a piano in the gym, but there was, and it hit him right on in the eye. Of course, a lot of blood, and because it was his head, 911 was called, and he was okay. But for the rest of the year, I got candy all the time from his friends, thanking me that I'd saved his life. And I just always thought that was cute. After that, I went and worked for the state health department. And at the state health department, I learned about this data set that has been collecting data from Utah since the 1980s on injuries. So that's kind of how the background of this. I don't have anything to disclose at all either. So that's what I'm going to talk about is, this database, and I'll talk a little bit more about it, they've actually looked at it, and there's quite a few fact sheets that have been printed about it that talks about the injury, but nothing that ever, school nursing is not even mentioned in there at all. And having been a school nurse, I thought that was quite interesting. So I wanted to look, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is how is the school nurse involved with these injuries, and then see if we can identify some strategies on how the school and in public health, because again, population-based, we're looking at school nursing, which is subspecialty of public health nursing. As Susan said, hopefully this can relate to other populations as well. And then the ultimate thing is what we're looking at is this critical need for finding outcomes for population-based care, which I think is we were all struggling with. So a little background just overall, these are US data, excuse me. Over 3.7 million school-aged children are injured in the US, and 25% of the injuries occur at school. When you think of the amount of time kids are at school, it makes sense a lot of the injuries are during the school, and it's one of the major reasons that children miss school. So another reason why it would be interesting to see what was the interaction with the school nurses. Whoops. So the background of this, I mentioned it a little bit. There is this school injury report, and it's actually a voluntary thing, but when I can tell you, as a school nurse, I would help sometimes, like for this incident with this child, I helped fill out the little form. And the secretary didn't think it was voluntary. To her, it was a mandatory thing, and I think that's kind of how they talked to it. But because technically it's a voluntary act, but all the school districts in the state participate, and we have rich data that comes to the state. I'll talk to you a little bit more about that. But from that data, we already knew that 911 was called 4 times a week in a school in Utah. And so that meant we knew it was happening, and that's actually gone down. When I was a school nurse, it was every day. So I guess we're improving, but still there were some issues of why 911 was called so much. About the same time, at another conference, Massachusetts, which if you look at your ruler is way up higher, it's number 16, the school nurses had been collecting data, and results were very different. So it's a prime example of what Susan was talking about, looking at ratios and seeing how different it can be depending on availability of a school nurse. So from a statistical standpoint, these were the hypotheses that we came up with. We were looking at, the first one was the school nurse, we assumed if there's more school nurses, which we defined as being a better school nurse to student ratio, so higher up in the ruler, I guess you could say, so that the school nurse was around the schools more. We assumed, and I think common sense would say, we'd hope that the school nurse was involved with those injuries. But we didn't know. No one had ever looked at that. We also wondered, not because we necessarily thought it would make a big difference, except, now I know we've got Vermont and Washington, D.C. and Michigan. No. Tennessee. Shoot, I knew it was one. Where are you others from? Oh, sorry. What state are you from?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Excellent. Okay. In the middle here? Ohio? Wonderful.
California.
Same. Okay, so we got a good variety. So in all your states, well, maybe not District of Columbia, but in the other areas, there's probably an urban area and a rural. And that's a huge distinction. And so in that respect, we wanted to see, we have school nurses in our rural areas that travel 2 to 3 hours to get to a school. And so, of course, that's going to make a big difference of how often they're there. And if there's an emergency, the school nurse isn't the first one they're going to call. Most of those areas have emergency EMS people that work in the schools as a volunteer. So we wanted to see how that impacted, though. We also, you know, the type of severity of the injury. If 911 was called, which is kind of what started us looking at this, also the time period, specifically recess, because the data had always said, well, recess is the big time. We wanted to see if that was influenced, if the school nurse was able to see the child or not. And then finally, elementary school. Some preliminary data had said that more injuries, especially at recess, were in the elementary school, so we wanted to see. And in the way we did our ratios, when we worked at the schools, we covered both all elementary, middle, and high school, but we spent our far majority at the elementary schools. And so we were looking if that makes sense for, at least in regards to injuries. So we took this secondary data set. We took a 5-year period. So it was 2009 was the most recent data at the time. We now have 2010, so we've actually expanded and done a seven-year look at just the injuries from 2003 to 2010. This is just the 5-year, though, for the school nurse, because that's the only information we had on the data, on school nurse ratios by district, which was as low of a level as we had. We used that data and then put it into us. We used two different statistical analyses depending what we were doing. I'm more familiar with SPSS, but our statistician likes SAS better, so we were doing it in both because it helped us. And then we used stepwise logistic regression to analyze it. And here's the results. This actually is from the 7-year. In there was 41,715 injuries. Now, these injuries to be reported, it's not like you need a Band-Aid. It means that the child had to have missed at least half a day of school and that it was of a major event. And that's left up to the school. So that is a limitation in this because everyone could describe that a little differently if they think it's major versus minor. But still, for that many, that's quite a few. From the 5-year, it was a little over 26,000, so still a lot. From that, though, this was what was surprising. Only 4.7 had EMS 911 called, which is good. There's not that many. But only 5.7 were seen by a school nurse. So really not that great. Yet, over close to 85% needed to see a healthcare provider. So as we're looking at data and what the role of the school nurse is, we have to wonder, could that number have gone down drastically had that healthcare provider been the school nurse? But since there wasn't, from a legal standpoint, the school and our emergency care plans, which is what we run on in Utah, that's oftentimes what you'll see is number one, if in doubt, you call 911, end of discussion, because we don't have the people to triage otherwise. This is just to kind of give you a breakdown. As you can see, it was distinctly different between grades K-6 through grades 7 through 12, so we broke it down there so you see, as well as the total. These were just some of the injuries. There's like 19 different versions. And I didn't get put in a copy of the injury report, only because when it scans, it's really hard to read the way the paper it's on. It's really sad. But that's, I guess, the other limitation is there's no qualitative data to know the stories behind it. It's simply that they check off what was the major injury, when did it occur, if the parents were notified, if the school nurse was. So it's still great and rich data, but of course there's stories to it, I'm sure, beyond what we know. But at least you can see here some of the main things where we would think that 911 might be called or that a school nurse might be involved. And yet again, it was only 4 or 5% that either one of those were seen. The biggest, of course, being fractures, especially with K through 6. Just FYI, just to let you know, there was an also statistically significant difference between male versus female. Anyone want to guess who was injured more? Yeah, you probably guessed it. 61% were male students. And recess was the number one reason for grades K through 6, but for 7 through 12, it was actually PE class. So, and then followed by classroom activities, which I thought was kind of interesting for 7 through 12, not for the younger grades. Anyway, so going back to hypotheses, I'm doing them in the same order. So even though this is the second most significant predictor, it was the main thing we were looking at. We wanted to know, basically, if there was a school nurse available, did it make a difference? And what was the predicting factor of when the school nurse would be involved? Because that's what we're also looking at, too. And so from a statistical standpoint, it found it was a significant factor. And for every unit, so for every 1,000, again, because remember, in Utah, we've got large ratios, so it's by thousands. If every 1,000 students that the school nurse, how can I say that better? Yeah, that. So for example, if a school nurse is covering 5,000 students versus the school nurse who's covering 4,000 students, there's a 14% decrease in the probability of being seen by a school nurse if for that 5,000. So it goes back to what we were saying, fewer schools, more likely to see the school nurse. And that correlates exactly with what happened in Massachusetts. In fact, Massachusetts is usually the school nurse who calls. And so they actually were able to do some training and triaging the school nurses on when's the appropriate time, and they're able to decrease their numbers even more so. We haven't gotten there quite yet. Give us a year. No, I'm just kidding. So the next thing was the geographic location, urban versus rural. And it's already identified. We have 41 districts in our state, and they've already been identified as either urban or urban-rural mix, and then either medium-sized rural or small-sized rural. And it was a predictor, the geographic location. As it says here, students in a combination, so they had urban and rural districts, or quite a few, were 80% more likely to be seen by a school nurse than students in an urban area, which was a little bit surprising to us, because in urban areas, I mean, I literally had schools that were a half mile apart from each other. It would have been quite easy to get there quicker. But again, on our emergency care plans, 911 is called before we are called. And then students in the medium-sized rural districts were 29% less likely to see the school nurse. Again, we're assuming that has to do with the distance it takes to get there. And even in the smaller rural areas, also less likely to be seen by the school nurse. So the next one is the severity of the injury. It was the third highest predictor. But what's interesting is that no particular injury was found to be more likely to be seen by a school nurse over another, which was kind of interesting because from a nursing standpoint and triaging, you'd think some are more severe than others. That it was just by severity. The interesting part with this is that this is our hypothesis that we need to look into more. This happened because if it's an urgent care, again, what's the call is you call 911. Where if it's not so urgent, you know the school nurse is coming Tuesday, you tell the kid to wait, the school nurse will see you Tuesday. And so that's why we're thinking that the more severe they were, the less likely they actually were to see a school nurse. Again, not what was found in Massachusetts. And then just specifically at 911, kind of goes along with it. If 911 was called, it was the number was 36% more likely to be called if the student had not been seen by a school nurse. And again, just it kind of correlates with whatever everything else we've been saying. So the time of injury, or meaning the period, recess wasn't a surprise that's involved. But what was kind of surprising was this first bullet that the students that were, again, because we were looking, this was all had to do with when the school nurse was seeing them or not, was that 70% of student injuries that occurred during an assembly, they were more likely to be seen by the school nurse. And the only thing we could think of is assemblies are scheduled. And so I guess if they're going to do something that's really combative or active, maybe they gave the school nurse a heads up to come. That is something we'll have to definitely look into. But no significant difference between injuries in class and those occurring in the playground overall. As you can see, the other students injured before or after school were 53% if it was before, 62% if it was after. Less likely to be seen by the school nurse. Again, we're assuming the school nurses probably aren't there. And then finally, athletic events, 85% less likely. And at that time, that's because there's an athletic trainer or someone else that might be covering for injuries. So grades, because there was such a difference between the K through 6 versus 7 through 12th grade. So statistically significant as well. And grades 5 and 6, which happens to be the grades that most of the injuries occurred just overall. So that's probably why they were more likely to be seen by the school nurse, because there was more injuries. But it was 8th and 10th grade that particularly were less likely to see the school nurse. So just food for thought on some of these. Some of it we could kind of think through, we're not sure. So what does this all mean? We definitely have a lot to look at, but one of the other things that comes into play is the cost, and especially in Utah, the cost of a school nurse. So I wanted to look at what was the cost of calling 911, especially when that was being called instead of calling for the school nurse. So these are some, it's general, but it's a beginning point. Statistics that I could find said that in calling 911 cost between $300 to $400. So if you take the number of injuries that were, they did call 911 and just multiplied it, that's how much money that it was spent just calling 911 from the schools. Now, some still might be called, but it would be a lot less if there's that triage that we found from Massachusetts. And then another interesting statistic I found in Colorado was that 28% of ambulance rides are not reimbursed, resulting in $1.6 million lost in 1 year alone. So again, an area where we don't look at it oftentimes, we just look at the salary of the school nurse, but we don't see the savings. And it might not be a direct savings to the school, it's more a direct saving to the parent, but it's oftentimes the parents that influence if there's going to be school nurses in the schools when it comes to budget cuts. So it's something that from this is an area we need to look at more so. The other thing is looking at school injury policies that focus on prevention of injuries, but not necessarily about the cost effectiveness of the care. And so that's another area that can be looked at. This is from the CDC's recommendations on emergency plans. And I thought, it makes sense. I just thought it was interesting that school nursing wasn't even mentioned. So another area that we can look at. So as a conclusion for this, in other states, school nurses being present definitely impacts injury outcome, including absenteeism, because they're there and they're able to triage. Utah, we're not so sure, but it also still shows us a lot of what happens when there's not a school nurse, and we can learn a lot from that. We've looked at if absenteeism, and Martha actually used that as an example. Is that an appropriate outcome for school nursing? Well, maybe not absenteeism across the board, but maybe looking more specifically at things like injuries, it might be something that might have an impact on that. So, and in conclusion for this, because I have the next presentation too, which will go much faster. I actually go back to a picture here. It's not super well, but it just reminded me as we were looking at the cost and the savings and prevention, and school nursing is so much about prevention. I just love the poem about the fence and the ambulance down in the valley. And it just reminds me a lot of this. I'm just going to read the last part of it in case you're not familiar with it. It says, "Better guide well the young when we claim them when old, for the voice of the wisdom is calling. To rescue the fallen is good, but 'tis best to prevent other people from falling. Better close up the source of temptation and crime than deliver from dungeon and galley. Better put a strong fence around the top of the cliff than an ambulance down in the valley." Thank you.